Welcome to the FTS BetSlip Podcast Mindset Series. The aim of these episodes of the FTS BetSlip Podcast is to build up a library of sound mindset advice that you can access anywhere and use to help you on your betting and trading journey. If you are new to this Mindset Series of podcasts, then please make sure you go back and catch up on any previous episodes that you may have missed. Each podcast will also have a written blog version to go alongside it. That is on our website, ftsincome.co.uk. And some of the episodes will also have an accompanying YouTube video on the FTS Income channel. So please make sure you're subscribed to that so that you don't miss any of the informative videos. Good luck, and I hope to take you on a profitable journey with your betting and trading activities. One thing, if you do enjoy these podcasts, please consider leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. Hello, and I want to examine further the subject of staking and move along that with some staking ideas, things to be mindful of, ways to stake. The first thing I'll say is I do not like, wish, or want to tell anybody what to have on any particular bet. It isn't my job to do that. It will ultimately decide your success, but the monetary side of things generally is what affects everything else. So the whole discipline emotion, where people fall down, usually comes from the pressure of the money side of things, and how we go about our staking and setting up. So when we're building our systems and doing things, everything we do on the FTS sheets is to 1 point, win or lose. And ultimately, that's to see how things perform to level stakes. So whether I'm going to trade something or flat bet it, I want to see first and foremost that it wins to level stakes. That really will be the benchmark for any sort of betting system and staking plan. If we cannot produce a profit to level stake, it is very unlikely that your system will have a positive edge, and it is more likely that you are doomed to lose in the long run. So that is kind of the benchmark for me. Even if I'm going to trade something, does it win in that market to level stakes first? If so, then I can decide how I want to play it. So I may want to bet and leave it, which obviously then I've got to ride the variance out. So that brings in the sort of variance and understanding losing runs conversation. Or do I want to try and smooth that ride, get in, for me, often getting into the market later, so I'm getting a better price, particularly in markets like the first half gold market. So I'm getting a better price, accepting I'm going to miss bets. So again, that becomes a mental issue now. Are people happy to miss bets? I'm happy to miss bets, but I can get in later. And then I don't need my strike rate to be so high. So if I'm betting at 1.3, for example, every loser is going to wipe out three winners. If I'm betting at 2.5, all of a sudden now, if I can get better than 50%, I'm making money. So it's really important to understand that, and I think that a lot of people don't understand that, and as I say, it all kind of combines together. Your staking goes with the betting system you've built and your whole approach and the attitude to it. I'm sure that if people have investigated betting staking and some of the vast array of bots that are out there, you'll have heard of various numerous strategies: Martingale, Fibonacci, D'Alembert, Parlay Kelly, Square Root, Retirement. I have used the 1-4 staking plan. So there's numerous different ones that have come up. And what I'd basically say, particularly when you get into things like Fibonacci, Martingale, and there's been some, you know, I remember going back on my early days in the internet, loads of systems sold using the Fibonacci sequence, for example, that none of these will work if your system doesn't have a mathematical edge. And what they will actually end up doing, and people get a lot of themselves in a lot of trouble, is end up starting these things and the bets get so out of hand that ultimately it causes failure and you cannot carry on. If you're going to try and do any form of loss recovery, you really have got to pan it out down the line and see what your worst case scenario is going to be down the road before you start getting involved. One of the biggest issues, of course, with staking and why people get it wrong is they're so intent on the money making side of things that they just dive in. So there's no thought process. And again, that's why I say that these topics, whilst we're talking about them independently, they all have to work together. So you've got to kind of put this package together in yourself, in what suits you, what money you've got available, what you want to bet. It is absolutely pointless, for example, people laying the draw at odds of 6 or 7 if they do not like losing 6 points at a time, because it is going to happen. There is absolutely no way around it, and that's what we've really got to factor into, not only in our system building but in our staking down the line. If you're winning £10 less commission on an exchange, and then you suddenly lose £70 because you lay a 8.0 draw that ends 0-0, can you actually handle that happening? You know, I go on all the time about people living every result and things, and putting themselves through this emotional roller coaster. It's the whole package. The whole purpose of these podcasts is to listen to everything, put it together, and put the package together that suits you. So, you know, the first things obviously is system building, and we've talked about that. That you need to have a process of analysis that you want to do, and we try and provide that through FTS with the FTS Advanced and Ultimate and things like that. And then, right, how are we going to maximise this with our staking? So, as we talked about last time, we need an effective bankroll management. That's the foundation of any successful staking. And you've got to allocate funds that you haven't got. You've then got to determine how you're going to use that bankroll. There's two-way, you know, betting level stakes, right? So, how are you going to bet level stakes? What amount are you going to put on each bet? How are you going to calculate that? And how are you going to grow it? So I've given examples numerous times that I use. So for me, I research my system, build it. I don't build my systems with many filters. Most of my stuff is relatively broad brush filters. So if we take FTS Advanced, it will be as simple as leagues and Poisson numbers for a market. Say, for example, over 2.5 goals. What leagues, Poisson numbers, and looking at the value bands of our odds compared to what's available on the day. Right, how am I then going to bet those? So I then decide, right, I'm going to bet those with level stakes. And I will look at the drawdown of that. So I'm going to bet them set and forget level stakes. So I'll look at the drawdown of that system. So I'll go back through historical data of that and see, right, what is the worst this has performed at any one stage? And I've talked about this and made YouTube videos talking about this, showing the formulas that I use to calculate my biggest drawdown. So I know once you've got your biggest drawdown, you know that has happened. So then I try and predict that forward and say, right, we know that's happened, so it definitely can happen again. What I've got to do now is get that into a state where what's the worst that could happen? Now, of course, this isn't, no one's got an absolute crystal ball, but you can kind of work it forward. So for me, I say, and depending on the odds I'm betting at, so if I'm betting around even money, I'll tend to happily go 3 times that biggest drawdown. So if it was 30 points, 3 times 30 would be 90. So and then I'd round it up to 100. If I was laying a draw at 6-7, I'd know that potentially that could go wrong on a bigger scale, because you could get 5 or 6 draws in one weekend, which are a lot more points. So I would probably multiply that drawdown by 4. So now that would be 120, and again I would round it up probably to 125 or even 150 points. I want to make that bank, you know, the word I use, bomb-proof. The key to staking really is staying in the game. If people could accept that when you start out, your first goal is to stay in the game and to work to small stakes and see how it builds up. But again, because people are rushing, they want to win £100 a day or £200 a day, that's when they get in. If you can see something work at small stakes, it is just a matter then of growing it over time. It's hard because obviously it's easier to win money with big money, to win meaningful money, but the whole thing is about going through that process to work it. So that's determining a bankroll. And I pretty much do that the same for all my fixed odds stuff. And then what I will do is when that bankroll has increased 50%, so if I've started with £1,000, when it's gone to £1,500, I will increase my stakes 50%. In effect, I'm keeping that same, if it was 100 points, 100-point bank. 100-point bank at 10 points is 1,000. 100-point bank at 1,500 is £15 a bet. So all I've done is increase the stakes 50%. But my banks, I've done it with money that I've won. And then for me personally, I never move the bet back down. So if I've gone to £1,500, put my stake up to 15, and then I have a losing weekend, so now my bank's back down to, I don't know, let's say 1,380. I don't personally lower my stakes back down because I don't want to do all my losing at the top end of my stakes and then try and win it back at a smaller level. I accept that now the bank is big enough, it's still built bomb-proof to sustain a bad run, and we will all have bad runs at different times. So that's the real key to it, but you've got to build that round, what your system analysis shows you, what sort of bets you're having, what your risk reward is. And I think because people see big numbers on things such as laying the draw, they don't actually figure the mental side of the risk reward and what they're doing. So I've been talking recently to people about a first half goal 1.5 method, backing over first half 1.5 first half goals, but entering late. So again, I accept I'm going to miss bets, but my risk reward by going at 25, 30 minutes, when I get two goals after that, it's huge compared to my losers. All of a sudden, I'm winning 10 or 15 times my stake. So I can afford to have 5-6 losers. I can afford to have 5-6 scratches. I only actually need a few winners a month to give me a decent return. But again, it's that I'm not in for action. I'm recording this session here in a international break. This is part of bankroll management for me. I've had a bet on, I'm recording this on Wednesday. I had a bet on Monday night. I've not looked at a market since. I've not gone looking to have a bet. That's part of my bankroll management. I won't even look at a Betfair exchange until the weekend, where people are, what's on today? What can I put my money on today? What's there? Or I'll have a go at cricket. All that comes under bankroll management. It's not just discipline, it's your bankroll management. There's money that you'd set aside to put into, let's say, a football system, but you're looking to now use some of it on horses or cricket or whatever it may be, because you're overridden by that desire to make money and win money that ends up then losing you money, as opposed to, this is that bankroll, that's what it's for, that's how I'm going to use it, and I'm going to be absolutely stringent in how I use that. So you can bet level stakes, and another way to do that is which can suit some people, I don't do this but can suit people, is to bet to a fixed liability. So you can lay or back to a fixed liability or for a fixed win amount, which will reduce your stakes. So if you are backing to win £50, obviously if you were backing at a 2.0 shot, you'd have to have £50 on. But if you were backing a 3.0 shot, you'd only need to have £25 on. 25 times 2 makes you 50 at even money. 50 times even money is 50. So obviously a lower odds bet has more chance of winning. The market gives it more chance of winning. They factually win more often. So even money shots win more often than 3.0 shots. Otherwise the whole market would be up topsy-turvy. So they factually win. And what that means is then you're having more money on the bets that win more often, and you're having less money on the bets that win less often. So I do this in some of my staking in a slightly different way in some of my systems that I've got, where I've got quite wide odds brackets. I kind of break them down into three sections. But what you can do, that then, you know, every winning bet costs you £50, but a losing bet at higher odds doesn't cost you as much as a losing bet at lower odds. So if you've got a range of odds, you can control your losses. If you're laying, you can lay to win a set amount. So you could lay to win £50, and it'll be exactly the same. When you're laying higher odds, you're not you know, if you lay in the draw, you're still only going to lose £50. What's going to happen is you're going to win slightly less on those bigger games. If they do end a draw, you're going to win more on the shorter odds. So it's another way then that you can control everything, again, to suit your mindset. Okay, I know I've had a loser, but I've only lost £50. I've not lost six times £50, £300 in one bet. So that's something that perhaps people don't look at, particularly starting out, enough. Looking at sort of having a fixed liability or a fixed win amount, and that is it. And then the odds will can control your stake and what your wins and losses are. So that's quite another way that you can look at it. And with the exchange, it's really easy. It's got this all built into it. You can click lay to a liability or back to a certain amount, and you can set all these things up in BetAngel and things for you also. But what this does, it just gives you less big swings. And I think, you know, once you start to take the big swings out your betting, it becomes more manageable mentally, and that's the whole thing that I think people need to get into. For my trading, I bet a percentage, so you need to determine a percentage. And again, a lot of this people just guess at. People just, you know, I've got £1,000 in, what should I do? As if they just want me to pluck a figure out the air. You've got to do this process of analysing your system, analysing past results, testing it forward a bit, and then determining there. You know, people just throw away comments. So you'll see, you know, and I've seen it on YouTubes and things that people have sent me. What do you think of this? Stake 5% a bet. Why? Where did they get that from? Ultimately, we've got to pick a figure, but we try and do it on logic. And my logic is always stay in the game. The reason I'm sat here doing this after 16 years is because I keep my money to stay in the game. I have bad runs, but they're not to the extent where the highs and lows of the swings are making me depressed. And we've seen, you know, there's a member on FTS, people know that bet's quite big, and you live his emotions. When he's having winners, he's talking about it, publishing them, and then when he's having losers, he's talking about how depressed and down he is, and you know, really getting me down there. There's nothing for me clever in that. You're just putting yourself through this mental torture all the time. Big wins are great. I used to love backing big priced horses. As I've got older and your objectives and things change, it's just not for me. I don't want these big long runs anymore. I don't want the angst of getting up in the morning going, when am I going to have my next winner, or having X. A lot of what I do is what I call boring, ploddy stuff, just plodding along, riding out small edges. But I think for people, if you understand you get small edges and you keep turning that over, so things like Steve Williams' pre-race trading course, that's what that's all about. Very small bankroll, turning it over a lot, nicking small amounts. It takes a great discipline. You've got to have the skills to do it, but you've got to plan for it and then affect it. At no stage should you be, you know, we talked about this last time, overstaking. So you've got to have that plan. So when you're trading, for me, most of my stuff is 0.5 to 1% of my trading bank. So I go through the same analysis. I'll have a look at it I'll have a look at it. Does it win to level stakes, set and forget? Yes. Good. Right, that's my starting point. Right, what's the worst case scenario? What's the number of losers there? If I'm then betting, let's say I want to bet first half goals after 20 minutes, I'll then extract those bets. So I'll extract that data out of a sheet. I'll extract it with the goal times. On all our FTS sheets, we've got the goal times, so I extract that out. And I'll then go, right, I don't want any games in here now that have had a goal in the first 20 minutes. So I can select those, delete those. That now leaves me with losing bets. If a goal doesn't come, it doesn't matter what time I enter the market, I'm going to lose. And it gives me all the games that have that goal 20 minutes onwards. I know that the odds from 20 minutes onwards, obviously it will depend in the league, but roughly will be around 1.8 upwards. So I can work out how many losers I have, how many winners I have. If I bet at that time, if I know I'm going to drip in, my average odds are going to increase. So I can work out what my worst case scenario, one I can see is it profitable, but I can work out my worst case scenario. And you accept then when you in effect, you're turning bets into coin flips. If you're betting first half goals at 1.3, you're going to have a 65, 70, 75% strike rate. When you're eliminating those games because we're not having early goals, we're going to have more coin flip bets. So I accept that it's going to be slow burning at times. But I can go into that now and go, right, That's what the win potential is. That's the bank I need. So let's say it's £1,000. And I could afford to bet these at 2% of the bank maximum. But I can work it all out. But for me personally, because I like this bomb-proof approach, I tend to be sort of 0.5 to 1% across the board. You know, I bet many things and in many markets and lots of things. So I'm really generalising what I do to help people. So that's a way that we can do trading, but people just tend to rush in. Oh, I'm going to trade that. Ian says do this first half goals, 0.5 cover, and they just rush in with money, have two or three losers, and then they're gone. You've really got to map it out. So, you know, I said last week that one of the things is the thorough research, comprehensive, you know, the two go hand in hand. Your system betting has to go hand in hand with what you're doing. You can't overstake. You've got to define that staking amount. You've got to have a bankroll. You've got to be set up correctly and know what you're staking. And if something doesn't win to level staking, we can then get into things like fractional or full Kelly. Now, I've never ever used full Kelly. I've known people who've tried it. I've not known one person who's tried it be successful. Their bank has been wiped out. So Kelly is a method, Kelly Criterion, developed by a guy called John L. Kelly. And it's regarded as sort of the ultimate staking strategy. Basically, you have it considers the probability of winning and the odds that are available. And then on your perceived edge, it advises you amount. So the bigger the edge, the more you have on. What it ends up doing, though, is when you have a bet that you've got a perceived big edge in, it makes you stake too much of your bankroll. Obviously, just because you've got a big edge doesn't mean that particular bet is going to win, and you end up getting wiped out. So when we're using bets like that, again, we've still got to have the plan. Everything comes down to me. My first thought whenever I go into any staking or looking at anything that I'm going to do is, what is my worst case scenario? Where I think people start at it, oh, I'm going to win this, and then it only ends in disappointment when they don't. I think you've got to flip that on the head and go, I've got this money, I really need to look after it, I'm going to treasure it like it's one of my children. What is the worst case scenario that could happen here? And if you start from that basis, I think you'll plot a lot more cautiously into your betting, and then you'll actually learn that just small wins compounding up, and I'm going to talk more about compounding in the next episode, small wins compounding up all the time with the same consistent approach is what reaches success. One of the things that I'm conscious of with what we do on FTS is spreading people a bit too thin, because we have so much and I use a lot myself. I think you've really got to focus on what suits you, what's your portfolio, and then get that staking set up. But fractional Kelly is something I look at and use, which basically is modifying that Kelly. So let's say it said, let's say I've got a 20% edge and it tells me to stake 20% of my bank. I would never stake 20% of my bank, but I might use what, a quarter of that. So that may be a bit, I call what's called quarter Kelly. So whatever it tells me, I'm basically quartering. So I would stake 5% of my bank on that. But again, you've got to be absolutely rock solid in your system analysis. We do not know what our edge is. You know, you've got to remember that odds are two perceived amounts. You've got a perceived odds from a bookmaker, which is their perceived version of how an event will play out. It's just a percentage chance that they've come to that converted into odds. And then we've got our own, and we can never get those fully mapped up together in what is absolutely perfect setup. So when you're using stuff like Kelly and that, you've really got to be sure of your calculations and your process that you're going through to determine that edge. You know, some people use it against the closing line value, so they can actually see what odds they're betting at, what the closing line value of those bets were, and work out their edge over time. But of course, that doesn't mean that edge is going to play out over every single bet, and they still can't determine what bets are going to win and lose. So you still have to work that side of it out. But for me, for most people, I would stay with level staking to start. I would stay with or the bet to a liability, so you know you're going to win a fixed amount or you're going to lose X amount, and it will vary depending on the odds, but be absolutely certain on your bankroll, what it's for, what the research has gone and moved into. When you're trading, if we're using a bank and we're going 1%, so that's fixed odds, and what I say, as I say, I put that up 50%. If we're trading and we're going to use 1%, in effect that takes care of itself. What you've got to determine is, what are you going to run that 1% off? So are you going to change it every single day? If the amount goes down, are you going to bet 1% of the lower amount? These are all decisions you've got to make. I never bet lower personally. Are you going to change it on one day's performance? So you start on Saturday morning with £1,000, Sunday morning you got 1,100. Are you now betting 1% of the 1,100? Are you going to run it for a week before you change it? Are you going to run it for a month? I tend to do mine monthly, so that enables me to get the month of ups and downs, and I'll end up with a figure. So let's say I had £10,000 on the 1st of April, and I get to the 30th of April, now I've got £12,000. Oh, that's when I'll change to 1%. So from the 10,000 to 12,000, I've still stayed in effect at 1% of 10,000. I've stayed at £100 stakes for everything, or 0.5 of that, depending on what I'm betting. And then I'll have a reset on the 1st of the month. If that bank was 9,000, I'd still stay at £100 stakes. If that bet was 12,000, that's when I'd go, right, 1% of 12,000 is 120, and I'll use that monthly. You can pick times. Obviously, you know, time is a thing that we've invented. It's a human sort of concept. It's just easy for us. And I think that people look at, oh, I haven't won that this month, or I haven't won this month. It doesn't actually mean anything. It is just over a non-stop cycle of bets. What you want to do with your staking is set yourself up to stay in the game and commit to yourself that this is what you're going to do. And as long as you do that, and as I say, then you exercise all the other bits, the analysis, the discipline, the understanding losing runs, understanding the odds you're betting at, understand what losses are possible. As long as you get all that wrapped up in that equation, then you should be in a much better place going forward. And I would say for people who do struggle with losses, I think perhaps looking at the liability option and saying, right, I'm willing to lose £50 a bet, is one way to go, because it will give you, you know, obviously if you're laying odds on shots, it's great, you get some nice wins, but it just gives you that, that is your worst case in any one bet, you know what that is. And then that way you can't, you're not going to wake up and go, oh, I've had a £300, £400 loser. You just got to be really aware. And if you're using things like BetAngel software, really aware of if you've got one-click betting turned on. That, you know, I had somebody who clicked 55 the other day, so ended up losing quite a bit of money on a bet they should have won. They were trying to exit a trade for lower, but the bots come up, put some false prices in there when the market's stabilising. So all those things, again, you've got to factor in. And people sort of go, oh, unlucky was I. No, you're not unlucky. It's just careless. I'm not, you know, there's no way around that. It's just careless. The numbers are there. Let the market stabilise. Know exactly what you're going to do. As I say, all this falls. There's no sort of silver bullet. All this falls together. The what you're betting, how you're betting it, what you're staking it, what your execution is, all these things focus, all these things that we've talked about start to come together. So next time I'm going to talk about compounding and actually what is possible, and kind of take you a bit more into dreamland of what is possible if you proceed. But I think you've got to look at the minute your own staking, what you're doing, what it's based on, why, you know, if I post a bet in Telegram, I posted a bet Monday, Burton Albion over one, did you bet that, why did you bet it, was it, you know, and we are getting better at people being part of their plan, and there's nothing wrong with having bets like that if they are part of your plan, but it is getting that whole setup, and money management will be the key, because it will determine everything else that goes on in your mind, but it's got to be built on solid foundations, know exactly what you're doing, most importantly suit you. If you've got one of the biggest things I've seen in my time helping people is people have £1,000 bank and they go, I'm going to commit to £1,000 bank, and that bank goes down to £800, they give up. And when they give up, that money's gone. You've got £800. You've not given a chance for the £200 to come back. And everything, as I say, has this variance. And they give up. So now they've only got £800. Then they go off and do something else. They'll go to a different site, join that, and they'll start again. And then they'll lose £200 there. And they deem that as rubbish and they give up. And all the time you're doing that, you're just giving money away. Doesn't really matter what your staking is if you've got that approach to it. You've got to commit to what you do, and the only way is to take your time before you start. Forget a minute at the great riches and buying condos in Hollywood. Try and commit to what you're going to do and execute that process. And in 2021 summer school, we showed that with a risk averse market 1.5, just doing the same thing day in, day out. And I think you've got to get to that. You've got to get what is my initial staking going to be sorted first. So as I say, next time we'll move into compounding. I think what people should be doing now is looking at their setup, looking at their bank setup, looking at how they stake, looking at money they've wasted, be honest with yourself, and get that into some organisation. But most importantly, it's got to suit you. You've got to stake in a manner. Forget the instant riches. They do not exist. Stake in a manner that suits you, that is built to sustain bad periods, built to keep you in the game, built to suit your mindset, and that you can take forward forevermore. That's basically what I did when I was younger. I built something that will take me forward forevermore.